on all kinds of dates of Christ's second coming or when he's coming at the rapture. And, you know, we just don't know those things unless the Word tells us. And I, you know, you can't inject something in there. I can give you food for thought, something to pray about, but other than that, that's it. This morning, we're going to look at the 70 weeks of Daniel as he gives us the prophecy and we get the explanation, the interpretation that actually leads us up to the time that the church is now living in this morning. Notice here what Daniel says beginning in verse 20 of Daniel chapter 9. He says, "Now, while I was speaking, praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God." Now, here the first thing we see Daniel doing, he's actually casting himself and his people, the Jewish people, on, or upon rather, the mercy of God. And you know, as we study God's Word, we know that God is going to show the Jewish people mercy. In fact, according to Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, God is going to be merciful to them, and we see them in the millennial period known as the thousand-year kingdom reign. There in Isaiah 2, verse 1, it says, "A word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days." And again, whenever you see the words "latter days," it's speaking about the times that we're now living in, the last days before Christ would come back. He says, "And it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and notice, all nations shall flow to it." Now, this is a reference to the thousand-year millennial reign. "Many people shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths.' For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." We know in Jerusalem the Lord's going to be reigning for that whole thousand-year time period as we're going to be able to go up and see the Lord. Look what Daniel says here in verse 21. This is where it really starts getting interesting. Daniel says, "Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, 'O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision.'" Gabriel the archangel. We've studied this before. Gabriel is actually an archangel that is the messenger angel. We see Gabriel in the New Testament when he came to announce to Mary that she was going to have a child, the Messiah. Gabriel the archangel comes to Daniel and he appears to him about the hour of the evening sacrifice there at Jerusalem. Now we know that that would be probably about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we're given the prophecy by Gabriel that actually makes this chapter one of the key prophetic chapters of eschatology, Bible prophecy, in the Word of God. Because without chapter 9 here telling us of the 70 weeks of Daniel, we wouldn't have an idea how the time frame in history, to the time we're now living in, the time that is just before the rapture of the church, we wouldn't know how it was going to go down. In fact, we know Jesus quoted Daniel a couple times, and he spoke of the abomination of desolations. Of course, we know that's when the Antichrist goes in the temple, sits on the throne, the temple that's about to be built, and says, "I'm God, bow down and worship me." That's the abomination of desolation that's going to happen in the middle of the tribulation period. But something that's interesting to me, notice how quick Daniel gets his answer to his prayer. Now, don't you wish that when you were praying, God would just come just like that and answer your prayers, you know, and say, "Oh, you know, Wanda or Bob or Jane or whatever your name is, you know, I've come because of your prayer, because you're greatly beloved in heaven. Man, you know, you're a man, you're a woman of prayer, and I've come to answer your prayer." I would love to do that, but God knows if I saw Gabriel, I'd probably have a heart attack and be with him it in Isaiah 65:24, "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear." I love that. I want to be a man that can pray, and you know what? I'm really shaking the foundations of heaven through my prayer time with the Lord, because it's hitting the prayer room. It's hitting the throne room. Instead of just going up to the ceiling here and not hitting any farther, it's actually making it. But notice that Daniel was greatly beloved in heaven. I thought that was awesome, too. Daniel was such a man of prayer that heaven knew him, and heaven loved him. That's why we see his prayers getting answered so much, because he was a man of prayer. And you know as well as I do, it's hard to sit down and pray, isn't it? I'll start praying, and, you know, it'll be about 11 o'clock or something like that. The first thing I'm thinking of, I'll pray, and 2 seconds into my prayer, I'm thinking of lunch, having a number two, you know, upsized at McDonald's. You know, your mind just starts drifting when you pray. Or you'll think of, oh, man, I got to do that. I forgot I got to do that. And we get so sidetracked in the busyness of life that we're living in. But here he was greatly beloved. And I know in the New Testament, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, it says that the believer in Jesus Christ is seen by God as being in Christ, and we are accepted in blood. God loves us very much. You know, when God looks at you, you know he sees his son Jesus, because you're a Christian. I love that. Gabriel now interprets the vision. Look what he says here in verse 24. He tells Daniel, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. What in the world is he talking about here? Well, first of all, we need to understand, 70 weeks don't mean weeks of 7 days. You know, and that's where many people get weird on it. The Hebrew word for seven is Shabuah, and it means a unit of measure. He's talking about a time period here. 70 weeks is speaking of 70 sevens. In the context of this verse, I mean, it's plain that Daniel has been reading Jeremiah about years, 70 years. Remember, we covered that last week. Jeremiah had been preaching and writing that the captivity would be for how long? 70 years that the Jewish people would be with the Babylonians. Jeremiah 25:11 says, "And this whole land shall be desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years." So when Gabriel was telling Daniel the interpretation, the explanation, it was sinking in. Daniel was understanding what he was talking about. In Jeremiah 29:10, it says, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place, speaking of Jerusalem." So here Daniel's about 85 or 90 years old at the time of chapter 9, and he knows that he went into captivity when he was about 17, so he knows that 70 years is almost up for him. He knows that they're getting ready to go back to the land. We know that the 70 years of captivity were a specific penalty for violating 70 sabbatic years. That would be 77s, a total of 490 years. In those 490 years, Israel had violated exactly 70 sabbatic years. So God says, all right, you will go into captivity for 70 years, so the land will have rest for 70 years. That was the whole purpose of them going into captivity. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 20 and 21 says, "And those who escaped from the sword he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to Nebuchadnezzar and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia," notice, "to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. So scripture weeks are divided into three periods here that we're going to see in the next couple of verses. There's 7 weeks, there's 62 weeks, and there's 1 week. So you have 7 weeks and 62 weeks gives you 69 weeks, and 1 week is 70 weeks. Okay, this is going to be the fulfillment of time from the beginning in Nehemiah chapter 2, when Nehemiah was commanded to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and the city. There's going to be these 69 weeks, 62 and 1 weeks, or in 7 weeks, that will make up actually 69 weeks, and there'll be 1 week left, the 7-year tribulation period. So we're going to see where we're standing right now in these 70 weeks. Daniel's problem with the whole thing was that he wasn't sure as to how the end of the 70 years of captivity would fit into the long period of the Gentile world dominion, which we actually saw in the visions of what, Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 8, which it had so clearly indicated. He thought that at the end of 70 years, his people, the Jewish people, would return to their land, then the Messiah would come, the promised Messiah, and the kingdom that was promised to David would then be established. But Gabriel says, no, he goes, let me tell you what is going to happen here. And you know what's interesting about it? Here Jesus is quoting Daniel in the New Testament, and yet it was Jesus who sent Gabriel to give the interpretation to Daniel. That's amazing to me how God works. You see, the 70 weeks, or if you will, 77s, answer two questions. Israel's kingdom is not going to come immediately. The 77s have to run their course through human history. These 77s are broken up to fit into the times of the Gentiles, and they'll run with them. The Hebrew word for determined here literally means cutting off. These 77s are to be cut off, and as we'll see in the following verses here, the 77s for Israel and the times of the Gentiles will both come to an end at the same time, at the second coming of Jesus Christ, at the end of the tribulation period. Now, you need to keep this in mind in understanding this, because it's important to know in Bible prophecy. The 70 weeks concern your people, Gabriel told Daniel. That's the Jewish people. Meaning the people of Daniel, which is, of course, Israel. He says, they concern your holy city. What's the holy city? Jerusalem. Jerusalem. 6 things are to be accomplished in those 70 weeks or 490 years. We'll see in our study that 69 of those weeks have already passed. There's one more week that needs to be fulfilled yet, the 7-year tribulation period. First thing that needs to be accomplished is to finish the transgression. This refers to the transgression of Israel, the Jewish people. We know that the cross of Christ provided the redemption for the sin of the nation as well as the world. But you see, not everyone accepted that. Not everyone that you go out there and meet is a Christian. They don't all believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Today, the word has gone out to the ends of the earth that there is redemption for mankind, that Jesus has paid a heavy price so that we could go to heaven. But in the last week of years, we're told by God in Zechariah 12:10, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me. Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation. He's going to go and his feet are going to stand on the Mount of Olives, as we shared before, and the whole mountain's going to split. As I was standing there a couple months ago, you could see the Valley Kidron, you could see Jerusalem, you could see the Temple Mount, the Temple site, the Dome of the Rock Mosque, and standing there on the Mount of Olives, just looking up, realizing this is where Jesus is coming back, and his feet are going to touch here, and the mountain's going to split. Water from the Mediterranean Sea is going to come in, and for that 1,000 years, Jerusalem is going to be a warm water port when we're reigning with the King. But to stand there and went in and sat in the temple and said, I'm God, bow down and worship me. Because he's always wanted worship throughout Scripture. The Jews are going to go, boy, amen, we're out of here. And they're going to split and they're going to go to that place called Petra. I mean, we were there. And you can see all the caves. There's actually groups there that are putting food in some of the caves in preparation for the people for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And Jesus is going to show himself, and they're going to say, where'd you get these wounds in your hands and in your side and your feet? And he's going to say, I received these wounds when I was wounded in the house of my friends. At that point, they're going to fall down and they're going to weep because they're going to realize Jesus was their Messiah. He was their Messiah. They missed his coming. That's what he said to them. And you know what? We're going to go from there into the millennial reign. Zechariah 13:1 says, in that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David, notice this, and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness. The Lord's going to take care of Israel during that 7-year tribulation. Church, that's why we're not going to be here. But Rick, don't we have to witness to them? No. God's raising up 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. That's going to have a seal on their forehead, and they're going to go throughout the world and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's going to be an angel circulating the globe that's going to be proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. We're not going to be here. So if we're looking for the tribulation period to come, before it can start, we're out of here, which could be at any time. I'm going to show you in a couple moments how close I believe we are to that awesome event of the rapture of the church. Church, I believe we are so close. I believe if we knew the day, it would make the hair stand up on our neck. That's how close I believe we're getting. Ultimately, Israel's sins will be forgiven. The city Jerusalem will be rebuilt. The temple and its ministry will be restored, all because of the atoning death of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's what he did. That is not what I did or you did. I mean, the only thing we do in this world is goof things up, right? It's because of what he did. And believing by faith, we enter into that and we're able to go to heaven. We're able to be a part of all these things that are getting ready to happen, man. I love it. Secondly, Gabriel says to make an end of sins. The national sins of Israel will come to an end at the second coming of Jesus Christ, at the end of the tribulation period, when he reveals himself to the Jews there. See, they are sinners, and as individuals and as a nation, they're sinners just like the rest of us. You see, because they were God's chosen people, doesn't mean that, you know, they're not sinners. We're all the same, every one of us. But that's why Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, he says, alas, for the day is great. Now, he's speaking of the tribulation period. So that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble. Again, Jacob being the father of the 12 tribes. It's when God deals with his people. But he shall be saved out of it. God's going to save the Jewish people out of that. And guess what? Many people that will not believe and walk with the Lord now, whom we know and love, unfortunately, will not go in the rapture, but they'll end up in the tribulation period, and there's going to be those that are going to get saved. Gentiles are going to get saved in the tribulation period. The only difference between now and then is then when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to be asked to take, you're going to be told, you're going to be commanded to take a mark in the back of your right hand or your forehead so you can buy and sell. And if you don't, it's going to cost you your life. You're going to have your head cut off during that 7-year tribulation to go to heaven. Man, I'd rather bow the knee now so that I can go at the rapture than to be stuck and be left behind and end up in 7 years of hell. But the scripture says there has never been a time since God spoke the universe into existence, nor will there ever be a time in eternity future that it'll be that terrible. It's going to be terrible, man. It's going to be a devastating time to be living in. Praise God, we're not going to be here for that. Thirdly, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now, during this period of 70 weeks, God has provided redemption through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This redemption is for Jew and Gentile alike. It's for the whole world. You see, there's only two kinds of people biblically in the world. You're either Jewish or you're a Gentile. It's one or the other. And that encircles and engulfs the whole world. Fourth, notice, to bring in everlasting righteousness. This is speaking of and returning, or referring to, actually, the return of Jesus Christ at the end of the 490 years to establish his millennial kingdom when we will reign with him for 1,000 years. I can't even imagine that. Can you imagine? Here we are in California. It's like, hey, let's go see the Lord, man. You guys want to go? Come on, let's go. We all just Jesus walked through walls, he disappeared and everything. You know, we're going to have a glorified body. We're going to be able to do that. And we're going to just go to Jerusalem. Hey, boy, how you doing, man? It's good to see you. High five. It's going to be awesome hanging out with Jesus. And there's going to be people, as I've shared before, in that 1,000-year millennial reign that made it through the 7-year tribulation and went into the millennial kingdom in their regular bodies. I mean, they're going to repopulate the world for that 1,000 years. It says in Isaiah, a baby will die at the age of 100 years old. People are going to live to be 1,000 years old in the millennium. But you know what? They're going to be in their regular bodies because they weren't a part of the church age. Yeah, they got saved. Now they're Christians, but they're not a part of the church. You and I get the awesome opportunity to be a part of the church. And you know, it's interesting to me because we're going to say, hey, let's go see the Lord. And they're going to say, well, I'll see you tomorrow morning about 6 because I got to catch a flight out of California because I don't have a glorified body. You know, we'll say, all right, man, see ya. Poof, poof. You know, we disappear. We're standing in front of the Lord. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. It's going to be so awesome. You know, when you start thinking that, guys, we're going to live forever and ever, eternity, forever and ever and ever, it makes, you know what, it gives you the right perspective and it makes the things, the drama, the issues you're dealing with now less important, doesn't it? When you really start thinking, all this is going to fade away, it's going to be gone. This body is going to go back to the dust if the rapture doesn't happen. And it's like God saying, man, what are you worried about? It's a win-win situation. You die, you're with me. No more pain, no more sorrow, Ricky. You don't have to pump it up just to let gravity pull it back down. I love it. I mean, this is what God's going to do. We have all this before us, man. Fifthly, to seal up the vision and prophecy. At that time when Daniel was getting this, you know what? These things weren't being fulfilled, but at that time, there'll come a fulfillment and a completion of prophecy, and it'll all be done. Six, to anoint the Most Holy. This is a reference to the anointment of the Holy of Holies in the Millennial Temple, about which Ezekiel spoke in Ezekiel chapters 41 to 46. Now, we've studied Ezekiel before. Through the course of time, we come to Ezekiel chapter 36. From Ezekiel 36 to Ezekiel chapter 40, it actually gives us the time frame for the latter days. Now, follow me with this, and you can read this for yourself and check it out. Ezekiel chapter 36. It talks about God is telling Ezekiel that he's bringing the people back after they've been scattered. We know for 2,000 years he's going to bring them back into their own land. May 14, 1948, that was a major prophecy that was fulfilled. That began the last generation in the last days. May 14, 1948. In other words, before that last person dies that was alive in 48, all these things are going to be fulfilled and Christ will have come back. I mean, we're coming down home stretch, I believe. Ezekiel chapter 37, the valley of dry bones. God told Ezekiel, Ezekiel, see all these bones here, how dry they are? Speak to them so that flesh and sinews and skin angel spoke, you saw the sinews. I mean, I want to get the rerun of that when I get to heaven. You could see the muscles and the flesh and the skin. And you see all these, the bones and everything coming together. And then they stood on their feet. And Ezekiel said, a massive army. And you know, it's exciting because that's what God's doing. He's bringing all the people back to Jerusalem, Israel. And you know, as Ezekiel was looking at these people, and God breathed in them and brought life to them again. Speaking of life in Israel, after it was established in 1948, God told Ezekiel there in Ezekiel 37, take the stick of Judah and take the stick of Israel, put them in one hand. There will now be one nation, one king. You go over to Israel, there's not Judah and Israel no more. It's all Israel. It's one nation. You come to Ezekiel 38 and 39. In the latter days, it says in Ezekiel 38, 39, as you follow the progression there, it says that a major country north of Israel in the latter days will come down into the nation of Israel. And it says that they're going to come down for a spoil. Well, I got a feeling you dropped the S and the P, and they're coming down for spoil. And it says in Ezekiel 38, 39 that there's going to be this huge war, and God says, in Ezekiel 38, 39, that when all these countries, the Arabs and the Russians, get into the mountains of Jerusalem, I mean, I was standing there in the mountains looking at the city. Before they get down into the city, God says, I'm going to wipe out 5/6 of them and turn 1/6 back. And you know what's interesting about it? It says they're going to burn the weapons of that war, listen to this, for 7 years. Ezekiel 39, verse 9 says that. That means that war has to happen somewhere around the beginning of the tribulation, because they're going to burn the weapons for 7 years. They're not going to burn it into the millennium. 7 years. You know what? We're seeing the sparks, I believe, of the last days. I believe we're getting close. Ezekiel chapter 40, we have the measurements of the temple and its courts in the millennium. Ezekiel 41 to 46, we have the millennial temple. And Ezekiel 47, 48, during the millennium, we have the boundaries of the land, and we have the settlement of the tribes of Israel. There's your whole scenario, man. There we have it right in Scripture, here as day, how it's going to happen. Look at verse 25. Gabriel said, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood until the end of the war of desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of that week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. What does that mean? Try to make an attempt to explain it to you. The starting point for this period of 490 years is very essential to the correct understanding of this prophecy. Since this period actually goes into the times of the Gentiles, what we're living in right now, the church age, it has to fit into history and originate from some date connected with the times of the Gentiles. Now, let me give you a couple suggestions here, some food for thought. Many people have tried to attempt a starting point when this was going to happen. There is the decree of Cyrus in Ezra, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. They go, oh, that's the starting point. Some have said there's a decree of Darius in Ezra, chapter 6, verses 1 to 12. And there's the decree of Artaxerxes at the 7th year of his reign in Ezra 7, verses 11 to 26. But as you study the Scripture, as you look at Scripture, you'll see that the decree next event I'm going to show you is the rapture of the church, man, that second tribulation. Guys, I'm going to show you how close we are. Listen to this. The commandment to rebuild the city of Jerusalem was issued in the month Nisan, 445 B.C., okay? That is the date that began the 70 weeks of Daniel. The first 7 weeks of 49 years bring us to 397 B.C., into Malachi and the end of the Old Testament. These were troublesome times, as witnessed both by Nehemiah and Malachi. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, and then we have what you call the 400 silent years between Malachi and the New Testament, Matthew. Silent not because God didn't work. God did work, but we don't see him speaking to any prophets or anybody through that. There's a lot of history. In fact, the Catholic Bible has the Maccabees in there and all that, the Apocrypha books. Those are historical. I mean, we use those to go back historically, you know, to be able to find different things in Scripture. 62 weeks or 434 years actually bring us to the Messiah, to Jesus. Now, listen to this. This is incredibly awesome. From the first of the month of Nisan to the 10th of Nisan, which is April 6th, right around AD 32, are 173,880 days. Dividing them according to the Jewish year of 360 days, you get 483 years, 69 sevens. Okay, you following me with that? The command went forth to restore and build Jerusalem in March 14th, 445 B.C. And the 69 weeks, or 483 years, were fulfilled on the 6th of April, 32 A.D. Okay, Rick, well, where does this tie in with what Daniel is saying here? That means exactly 173,880 days, or 7 times 69 prophetic years of 360 days, from the command to rebuild the city of Jerusalem to the very day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that donkey, was the exact days of the Messiah. Is that incredible? To the very day. You tell me God's word isn't good? In his book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, listen to what Josh McDowell writes. He finds that the chance that any one man might have lived down to the present time and fulfilled 8 prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 17th. That would be 1 with 17 zeros after it, just to fulfill 8 prophecies. In order to comprehend this staggering probability, Peter Stoner illustrates it. Take 10 to the 17th silver dollars, lay them on the face of the state of Texas. They will cover all of the state of Texas 2 feet deep. Now, mark one of them with an X, one of the silver dollars, and stir the whole mass up thoroughly. Blindfold a man and tell him that he can travel as far as he wishes, but he has to pick up the one silver dollar that is marked with the X. The chance of him getting the one right is the same as the prophets writing 8 prophecies and having them all come true in any one man from their day to the present time. One of them, Jesus actually fulfilled 61 major prophecies. I mean, you know, you look at that, you can clearly see that he is God. He is the Son of God. That's why Jesus said in Luke 19:42 to the Jewish people, he said, if you had known even this very day the things which belong to your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. If they were such men of the word, they would have known Daniel's prophecy and that this was Jesus the Messiah riding into Jerusalem on a donkey 173,880 days to the very day from the command to rebuild Jerusalem. Incredible, man. You see, between the 69th and the 70th week, to major events are to take place. First of all, Messiah is to be cut off. This was the crucifixion of Christ, the mystery and truth of the gospel. Remember, Jesus said in John 3, verses 14 to 19, he said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Here it is. This is the condemnation: that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Jesus said as Moses lifted up that serpent. Do you guys remember that? The pole with the serpent on it? You see it on the back of ambulances today. The pole with the serpent is used for the medical field. Well, when the people were complaining and God sent, you know, these things into Israel to bite them and they would die, God says, "Look, if you take that pole with the serpent on it and hold it up, anybody that looks on that pole will live." But yet the hardness of men's heart, there were still people that said, "No, I'm not looking." They were mad at God. Or they didn't believe and they died. Jesus said, "I'm going to be lifted up. And those who look to me will be saved. And if they don't, then they won't be saved. They'll die. They'll die in your sins." He said, "As Moses lifted that pole, I'll be lifted up." That's when Messiah was cut off. Secondly, the second event, major event, was the destruction of Jerusalem. History records that in 70 AD, Titus and the Roman army went in to the city Jerusalem, burnt the city down, and burnt the temple down. I mean, isn't that what Jesus told the people that would happen? In Mark 13, 2, Jesus said, "Do you see these great buildings?" He was talking about the temple. He says, "Not one stone will be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." And that's exactly what Rome did. They came in, they tore that temple down stone by stone, because when they lit it on fire, all the gold melted into the cracks. Jesus knew that was going to happen. They took it down stone by stone. The final week, speaking of the 70th, is a period of 7 years which is yet to come. And you know what? It doesn't follow immediately after the 69th. The 69th week ended with Messiah being cut off, with Christ's ministry when he was crucified. The time gap between the 69th and the 70th weeks is known as what we call the Age of Grace. It's the church. It's the body of Christ, which was a mystery that God had hidden in Old Testament times. He didn't reveal this to the prophets or the people. But now it's been revealed to Christ and the apostles. We see that in Ephesians 3, verses 1 to 12, and 1 Peter 1, verses 10 to 12. If you study Romans, Romans chapters 9 through 11, Paul wrote to the church in Rome and said, that in those chapters that Israel has been partially blinded and temporarily set aside. Why were they set aside? They were scattered in 70 AD, and Jesus, in the book of Acts, founded his church. You and I as Christians, guys, we are living in the church age. At the rapture of the church will be taken out. People will still get saved in the 7-year tribulation and the 1,000-year millennium. But they won't be a part of the church. You understand that? You know what that means? We have the awesome privilege to be a part of this age of grace, the body of Christ. I love that. The prince here in verse 26 is the little horn of Daniel 7, but he's also the beast in Revelation chapter 13. After the church is removed from the earth, he will make a covenant with Israel and others in Europe. Israel's going to accept him as her Messiah, but in the middle of that week of years, the 7 years, 3.5 years later, And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You see, prophetically, and I'm wrapping this up right now, prophetically, we are living in the age of grace. And the 70th week of Daniel, the great tribulation, as the Lord called it, is yet to take place. When is it going to start? Well, we believe that Jesus could come at any moment, and then 7 years of hell will be unleashed on earth. As we study the course in Ezekiel 36 and Ezekiel 40, we see from Israel coming back into the land that we're that generation. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 21, "For then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be." And in verse 42 of Matthew 24, he said, "Watch therefore.